then I should probably press the button.
Okay.
Button.
And it was the correct button before anyone tells me it was the wrong one.
Why do we even have that button?
So we can record the podcast.
Oh, that button.
Yes.
Good button.
Yes, it is a good button. It's a very good button. It gets a biscuit. Well, it would get a biscuit, but it's a button. Do not feed biscuits to your buttons.
No, then they get all crumbly at the edges.
I mean, sometimes it works, but then it's not on a button. It's a mimic.
Be right back. Creating the stats for mimics and ciphers. Never mind. Hello, and welcome to Book of the Raven. This is our Halloween one-shot, where we're using Cypher System to play Chapter 3 from Candlekeep Mysteries, which I know is a Dungeons & Dragons book. However, we're doing it in Cypher System. It's fine. Actually, it's more than fine, because I get to throw ciphers at people, and that's a lot of fun. My name is Crash. I'll be your GM for the evening, because I'm not a DM. It's Cypher System. Tonight, I'm joined by a bunch of awesome
people.
Also,
we're
not in. Also, you're not in a dungeon. You were in a cellar briefly.
Right.
Yes.
I'm glad they don't have a dungeon in the cellar.
Yeah, it was a chalet. They had a servant's quarters down there. That would not speak well for their ability to keep people. Their glass door references would be very low.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yes.
And
very.
And joining me tonight are a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, Io, and Jen. What happened last time?
It rained. It rained on my fur.
It's still raining.
I fell through a hole.
The hole wasn't there until you dug it.
Yes. And I was not expecting to find more hole.
You dug hole. It was super effective.
Hmm?
Oh,
we found a little kid somewhere.
You found the ghost of the child. Yes.
Ghost kid. Yes.
And then cleaned her room for her.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And for that, I gave you a bunch of subtle ciphers.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things you're saying are true, but none of them talk about the plot, which is wonderful. So you are a collection of amateur treasure hunters who may or may not be on your first treasure hunt ever. Some of you are in it for the adventure. Some of it are in it for the money. Some of you are in it because you may have racked up an unexpectedly high amount of debts and you need to do something to take care of that. And some of
it's
you...
It's hard being an itinerant cleric.
Yes. And some of you might just be a cockatiel with a bat, so...
Yes.
You know, yes. That might also be a thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you found a treasure map inside a book that was stolen from a raven, hence the name, Book of the Raven.
Mm-hmm.
And it led you to this chalet, which has been abandoned for quite some time, except not 100%, because right at the end of our last session, Ellie's character, Ori, was in the kitchen with the candlestick and, no, but was in the kitchen and looking around, saw that, well, one, there were mice that scurried away when she went in the kitchen. Well, mice would be in there if there was food, but this place has been abandoned for decades. Everything is rotting and decaying and covered in dust and mold. And
except,
but there were mice. And a bag of flour and spices. This kitchen has been in use somewhat recently.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that's where we ended it last session. So, in our next episode of Pangolin Ball Z...
Please do not use me as a ball.
Oh, come on.
Pick me like the football, I believe it is.
We don't even have a dungeon to put someone in for 1,000 years.
We no.
have a cellar.
We have servants' quarters.
A cellar with a servants' quarters and a well that may or may not be haunted. So everyone else sort of scattered. And dear listeners, here's the thing. The way I have Foundry set up for this particular session, every character has a very small range for which they can see. And when they move, that range that they can see goes with them. It doesn't leave the map revealed. So they can very quickly lose track of everyone if somebody runs off on their own. Dear listeners.
And we have.
Everyone ran off on their own. And it just so happens that three of them managed to get back together. Ori is still in the kitchen with Dinah. There is no banjo. There is a harp, a gilded harp upstairs, but whatever. Actually, no, that's on the ground floor.
In fairness to me, I didn't think I was leaving everybody behind. I thought I was leaving everybody. But the fact that they didn't follow means they split the party.
Fair. That is definitely fair.
The cockatiel left. Mm-hmm.
In everyone's defense, the way Foundry is set up for this particular map was intentional to make that more likely to happen because Halloween episode.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm
and
just here.
When Ori was going one direction and Crazy was going a completely different direction, which direction is more likely to cause terrible trouble? The one the cockatiel is in.
You say that, but Ori is in this for the adventure. So it's more like a tie. They wouldn't get in the same trouble, but still trouble. In any case,
there's Crazy, definitely trouble.
Yes. Crazy, Purga, and Portakali are at the base of the Shattered Tower. You've, if I remember correctly, you discovered why the tower is shattered?
Yes. Alchemical explosion.
Okay, good. This is the second time I'm running this chapter of the book. The first time was with my after school club, which just this week we had our last session and they finished it. And I was so happy that we hit an end point, because that's never a guarantee when you have a set date where you have to stop everything. Mm. So some of this is, okay, I've definitely revealed this. To whom?
Point. A point.
But yes, you're at the base of the Shattered Tower. Portakali is actually in the doorway because the Shattered Tower doesn't have another floor up. And then beyond that, it's sort of hit or miss as to whether or not there is something blocking the rain coming down.
Right.
And Ori is in the kitchen. That's
Crash,
one floor
are you talking?
Below. I am.
Yes, Crash is talking.
Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
You can't hear Crash?
It sounds like Crash cut out in the middle of a sentence and hasn't been talking since.
Oh, no.
I can hear you now.
Okay.
But you did cut out in the middle of a sentence while talking about a portacole. Talking about portacole.
Yes, I was basically telling the listeners where everyone is on the map.
Mm.
All right. So, recap completed. What are we doing now?
Well, I don't think I can get up there.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Well, there are handholds. It would be a challenge for you, being more of an armored burrower as opposed to a climber or flyer. Mm-hmm. But you could still make the attempt. I would say, with the bits of wooden stairs and supports that are still sticking out of the wall, it would be difficulty 5 to climb. I will also say if people look in their inventories, they might find things that can assist with certain situations. Don't forget you have ciphers. Don't forget you also have some starting equipment. Yes. Rope is also one of the things that as amateur treasure hunters, you decided you might need.
Perhaps Crazy could fly up there and tie the rope off to something, and then the rest of us could help investigate the alchemy lab that blew up.
Okay. Trying to see if I have a rope.
I have a rope.
You have a rope. Okay. So Crazy's going to pick that up in their beak and fly up a little bit or bounce up the stairs a little bit and tie it to something up there.
Okay. Well, if I look at your abilities, you do have the glide ability, which would require you to use 2 speed points for a self-powered flight.
Okay.
It stacks for using this ability over and over again, but I will say that the tower isn't that tall, so you just need to use the 2 speed points. So that would take you down to 9.
Yeah. Okay. Speed points down to 9, yes?
Yes. If you look at your speed directly below where it says 11, there's plus and minus buttons. You could actually click the minus button twice. There we go.
Okay, have done.
Wonderful. I like that that's a feature because the number of times where I or somebody else has altered the wrong number is non-zero.
Yeah. Okay, so Crazy's going to pick up the rope and fly it up there and tie it to something. And yeah.
All right. I won't require a roll for flying. I have put another Crazy on the third floor.
Okay.
So if you unselect yourself, you should also be able to see a version of you on the third floor.
Okay. Let me move this. Yeah, I think that's where I'm at.
Okay. And I'm going to say that attempting to tie off this rope and climb, I'm going to say that the rope is an asset, so that's going to lower the difficulty to 4. Is there anything else that's being done to lower the difficulty more so that a pangolin would be able to climb up?
I could give a pangolin a boost if it's not too close into the wet.
So you're going to stay down here no matter what, because wet.
I can't climb through the rain.
I mean, you sure you can?
It's wet. No, I mean, it will get my fur wet.
Okay, well, you can give a boost at the beginning because of how the rope comes down. And the worst of it is not coming down on you, especially if you're under a pangolin. You have a pangolin-shaped umbrella.
Yes.
There you go.
I am going to apply a GM intrusion, however.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
And this is going to be applied, I think, to the character where it makes the most sense. Crazy. The GM intrusion that I rolled, the character momentarily forgets what they were about to do and has to spend an action to remember what it was.
So cockatiel, honestly. Okay.
I rolled that and I thought, well, I could apply this to so many people, but I think this has to be to Crazy.
This is the one, So Crazy's got this rope in her beak and forgot what she was doing with it. So she's just kind of going, like tilting her head side to side. Like, what am I supposed to do now?
Okay.
So cockatiel. Yeah.
So Perga, it looks like the rope is tied off. Do you start to attempt to climb? Okay, bad news. The rope was not tied off. Crazy forgot what they were doing.
Well.
Yes.
Perga curls into a ball.
And while this is going on, it looks like Ori is going up the stairs. So I am... Well, Ori went up a flight of stairs, but that flight of the stairs is more because the house is built into a hill.
Ori, are you wandering around trying to find the others?
Ah, wonderful. Well, you're just outside room C8, which I believe was the den, but the den did have a flight of stairs going up another floor.
Yes. I'm also still curious about those boar noises.
Yes, those were kind of odd, weren't they? Crazy, I would like you to make me a speed defense roll. This is going to be difficulty 3. So, looking at your character sheet, I don't see any particular abilities that would basically tell you, oh, hey, yeah, this is going to be easier. So what you do, if you click where, like if you're looking at your pools, you have a little D20 icon next to each label. If you click the one next to speed.
Oh, okay. Next to speed.
You get a, yes, you'll get a pop-up.
Okay. Okay.
Where it says base difficulty.
Speed point? Is that what I'm doing?
No, you're not adding a speed point. You should, when you click the D20 icon next to where it says speed, you get a pop-up. This is something that Ellie told me about, and then I enabled it because it was cool. In that pop-up.
So I'm looking at that.
Yes. The very top box that you can change, it says base difficulty, and it says none. Change that to three.
Three. Okay, it is a three.
Okay. And because you clicked the button next to where it said speed, it already has a speed pool selected, so that's fine.
Okay.
At the bottom of that pop-up, there is another D20 icon where it says roll.
Let's see if I can find that. I'm not seeing it.
It's all the way down at the bottom of the pop-up.
Found it.
Okay.
Found it. I have a three.
Okay. And you rolled a three. You needed a nine or higher. So, I'm going to say congratulations. You are not going to take damage because of your glide ability. It basically gives you permanent feather fall, which is hilarious considering you are a bird.
Right. Yeah.
So, Perga, you pull on the rope. It starts coming down fast. You curl into a ball and roll off a portacolli in a comedic fashion, possibly bouncing around. And then Crazy glides down, possibly flapping frantically because cockatiel.
Cockatiel.
Still holding
not all of the broken flyers.
Still holding the rope in her beak.
Yes. Yes. Cockatiels. Cocktails that look like crazy specifically aren't real smart. So,
and because it was a GM intrusion, you both get one XP for this.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Yes.
Erka fixes crazy with a look. They're not mad. They're just disappointed.
Crazy's like tilting her head to the side. Back and forth. Because that is cockatiel.
Crazy. What did I ask you to do up there?
Bring the rope.
And tie off the rope so that I could climb.
Okay. Maybe I should try again.
I forget, Ori. Had you already gone into C10 and 11 or no?
I can't remember.
I will look them up because you were going in those and I should probably explain what those are.
I only actually went in C11.
Okay. Well, C11, this bedroom hasn't been disturbed in years, as evidenced by the thick dust and cobwebs covering everything. The furnishings include a narrow bed with a moldy mattress and an elegantly carved headboard, an empty wooden dresser, a nightstand, a coat rack, and a padded armchair. An oval mirror hangs on the wall next to the door. So that's what you saw in that particular room. And then you hear a loud fluttering and I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed from Perga. Which is coming from the end of the hallway that you're in.
Oh, hey, there you guys are.
Still has rope and beak.
pant, was startled.
That looks fun.
It wasn't.
Okay. I'm going to try again.
What's the rope for?
Burglar.
Burglar points.
Okay. So I guess I glide.
Do you want the whole rope up there? Do you want the whole rope up there?
I want the whole me up there.
Oh. Oh, it's a climbing me. Okay, I'll put it up there.
Oh, okay. I drop it.
I will tie one end of the rope to myself, pick up the other end, and start climbing.
Okay.
All right.
Difficulty 5.
Okay.
Speed task.
I am going to expend one effort. You said difficulty 5?
Yes.
Yep. I think he did.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you did better than... Well, no, you did better than Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend an XP to reroll that.
You can spend an XP to reroll that, definitely. All right. Well, with a 12, after spending that level of effort, you successfully get to the top. And now I get to drag another icon of you onto there. I'm going to move Crazy off of this because Crazy is not there.
Mm-hmm.
So Crazy is now just... There's a ghost Crazy hovering outside the tower. We've traced the call. It's coming from outside the tower. You're actually okay. Don't worry about it. Okay. So you are at the top of the tower.
Is there anything up here to tie the rope off to?
There's stonework that looks like the mortar hasn't totally fallen apart on. There's also bits of wood that you could probably tie it off onto also. The floor is, it seemed better days, obviously. There was an explosion that ripped a big hole in it, as you can see on the map. But there's also cross beams that are still there. So your guess is it could probably hold Perga's weight.
Okay. I would hope so if they're going to climb up here.
All right.
It would be a genuine shame to have Perga climb all the way up here and have the crossbeams not hold their weight.
It would be. It would be a GM intrusion, but the GM has already applied an intrusion that involved Perga falling. So, wouldn't do that twice, would he? That would be silly. Okay, Perga, this is a difficulty 4 task to climb the rope.
Boost.
For anyone else who chooses to climb
Kitty
the rope,
boost.
It's same difficulty. Yes.
Kitty will boost.
Okay, if you're boosting, I will say that that does provide an asset, so that I'll bring it down to difficulty 3 for Perga.
All right. This is a speed roll?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, huh. I just noticed that I spent might points on it rather than speed.
I noticed the same thing. Oh. Because it puts all that information into the chat. Hmm?
Can I change that to speed? I didn't intend to spend might.
You can if you want to. All right. That's an 11. That's success. Perga has successfully climbed a rope. You have possibly traveled further vertically than anyone else in your family line.
Except for the underground.
The digging.
Well, yeah.
Digging.
Further vertically above ground.
Further through the air.
Yeah. There's a lot of asterisks after the word further.
Oh, my. Perga sort of peeks their head up over the top and clambers shakily up and thank you.
Oh, sure.
This used to be an alchemy tower, I think. And then someone did alchemy too vigorously and poorly, and it became full of...
Half an alchemy tower.
Yes.
Well, half an alchemy tower
and a lot of debris.
Half the tower is here. It's just not evenly distributed. All right, so... You are on the
door.
Top. That is a window. So is anyone else going to attempt to climb up to the top of the tower?
It's wet. I'll stay down here and try to catch someone if they fall down. It's wet.
Someone falls. They land right where it's raining. And you reach out sort of furtively towards the wet and say, I tried.
I'd be a little bit less terrible than that, faintly, slightly.
Okay, so Crazy, it's up to you. You can stay down here, or you can fly up again, although that would cost you 2 speed points again, or you could attempt to climb the rope difficulty 4.
It can boost people up the rope.
Okay, I think that's what she's going to do, is try to climb the rope using her beak mostly, and her feet.
Okay. So go ahead and click that D20 icon. And
D20 icon. And roll.
Did you get the pop-up?
Pop-up.
Which D20 icon did you click?
The one that looks like a D20?
Yes, but there's many of them in different places. You get a pop-up.
Oh, okay. I have a pop-up.
Or did you click on the D20 icon that's down in the chat box?
Bottom of the thing? Yeah, that's where I put it.
Okay, that's fine. Go ahead and click roll.
Okay.
We can do the math for that.
20.
Yes. With a nat 20, you crit success and climb up using just your beak and 1 foot.
Mm-hmm. Boink, boink, boink. All the way up.
Not quite realizing why anyone thinks this is difficult. Why couldn't Perga climb up it when you were just holding the rope in your beak? You do not understand this.
Maybe it's because Perga doesn't have a beak.
Oh, that must be it. Yeah.
Might be.
Must be it.
Yeah, maybe.
On the uppermost level of the tower, which was not visible to anyone who was down at the bottom level, possibly because wet, there is a wooden chest with a scorched lid and clawed iron feet. Hold on a second. I believe there's other stuff here. Let me make sure I'm reading this correctly. There's also 4 robes that last time Crazy was up here, well, not the last time, but the time before last, because you've been up and down more than once today, you saw that these robes have been sort of tossed about by some ravens that were flying away at speed when you showed up unexpectedly. Those robes are still here. They are mostly in locations where, like, yes, the tower blew up, but there's still some fragments of roof above you. This is not completely all the way around. And the robes are in a dry spot. Dryish spot. Less damp spot.
Less damp. Okay.
They are currently not being used as towels to soak up the spill.
Ah. Okay. I'm going to go over to the robes and stare at them for a minute, trying to decide if this would work with wings.
If I remember correctly, Crazy, the last time you looked at those robes, it looked like they would not fit over your wings very well, so you decided to not bother with them.
Ah, okay. Okay, yeah.
So Ori, when you go over to the chest, a large raven lands on it right before you reach for it. It caws at you and stares at you.
Oh, hi.
Bird.
3 more join it.
I'm not sure if I'm remembering well what the little girl said, but didn't the raven steal something?
Something somebody's powerful had taken something.
Okay.
I'm going to move a little closer to birds. Just a little, like 1 square over, I guess. Something like that.
They are looking at you in the way where ravens will look at people.
Sideways.
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Bird. Bird. Bird.
Hold on a second, because I think I might have an asset. Well, things that Crash should have done before, but did not. Nope, that's not it. This will have to do. Too large. That is a chest that doesn't have room to fit. Okay. Let's just set this right here so you can position yourselves around the chest as you see fit. Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
They give me an intellect roll. Difficulty 2.
Would finding or noticing small details help me here?
Difficulty 1. All right, you beat it with a 6. It takes some getting used to with how Cypher does things. Like, because most games, it's like, okay, well, you can add to your roll, or you get a penalty to your roll. And Cypher system is like, well, you can add a penalty to the target number or take away from the target number. So you're never rolling more than 20. And this amuses me that I have to play this mental gymnastics of how I'm doing a thing. It looks like the Ravens are waiting for something. Possibly for one of you to say or do a thing.
They're waiting. Are you protectors of this place?
A couple of the Ravens look at each other, but one of them nods.
Do you want us to leave that alone?
The Ravens look at each other and sort of call back and forth. They appear to be undecided. The largest one, okay, Crazy has seen birds sigh before. Mm-hmm. The rest of you might not have. The largest one very clearly sighs. This is perhaps not a bird-like gesture. It is a very human gesture.
Mm-hmm.
But this bird has done it.
Closer.
It hops off the chest and walks over and uses its beak to open up part of the robe and starts to climb inside of it.
You
and then the rope
want
rises
us
up, and there's a person inside of it.
Yep. Everything
and I
okay
cannot,
there?
I cannot modify tokens if I am in the wrong window.
That's true.
Yes.
It doesn't work like that. I need to make sure I'm grabbing the right thing here. There we go. Well, The person you see before you is short and stocky, AFAB, and looking for more description stuff. That's personality, so I'm not just going to describe all that. Okay. So she rises up, she's wearing the robe, and she takes a sash and ties it around her. The sash is noticeably very red. Well, you gave us a bit of a fright when you showed up. What are you
Sorry.
Doing here?
Exploring?
Well, yes, we heard you going around through the house.
Mm-hmm.
Must say you haven't been the most destructive visitor.
Well, in our defense, much of it was already destroyed.
That's why I said you haven't been our most destructive visitor.
Oh dear.
Yes. Well, no, not this. That was like that when we got here. I know that's a thing people say when they are trying to distract from being the cause, but in this case, it's true. My understanding is the Baron did that. Probably not intentionally.
Is that why he's buried out in the graveyard?
Oh, no. From what we understand, he drowned in the well.
Oh.
We did hear whispers coming out of the well.
Drowned in the well?
Mm-hmm. Sleepwalking.
Lassie couldn't get there fast enough. I do not say that.
Mm-hmm.
I must say the thought occurred to me when I read that part of the chapter, yes. But also, Madrina, which is what this person's name is, will tell you that the servants weren't aware that he was sleepwalking and were not able to get him out of the well before he did drown. It was very tragic. And it was after his death that his wife left the chalet never to return. And then the servants packed up and left too. And a few decades later, the founder of the Scarlet Sash found this place and thought it would be a good location to set up shop.
The Scarlet Sash?
Yes.
Is that who's using the kitchen?
Well, we have been using the kitchen, yes. A girl's got to eat, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
We didn't realize this place was in use by you or by the ghosts?
Oh, there's more than one, but they're mostly keep to themselves, mostly quiet.
Someone took something that was important to them.
Madrina's face goes like she had this like gentle expression on her face for most of this, like she's talking to a bunch of kids, but her face goes hard when you say that. Yeah. One of the ravens, one of the other ravens had gone over to the robes as well and He rises up.
Yes. I was a younger were-raven when it happened, but a hag.
And this is where the DM has to check his notes to make sure he uses the right names. There we go.
Are there more people up there?
Yes.
Oh.
But they're also birds, maybe?
Well, no.
But it's wet.
There's dry spots. You're only wet for a little bit.
No!
If she's wet forever until she dries off.
Yes.
Madrina looks like she's about to say something about that, and then says, all right, cat person.
Wet.
Would you all mind if we had this conversation downstairs?
Okay.
Not me.
That I seems like leaving people reasonable.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll for going down the stairs. That would be hilarious.
Can I look in the chest first?
Rather you didn't. But I imagine we will be having a conversation about that.
Okay. I got a key and I want to see if it fits.
Oh, no, that key doesn't go to that chest. We never lock it.
Oh, well then what fun is getting into it? And she heads down the stairs, such as they are.
I'm assuming by that we mean the rope. Because I also said stairs and I realized, wait, the stairs are out.
There's no stairs. Yeah.
When the escalator breaks, it becomes stairs. When the stairs break, they become elevator shaft.
Kindling.
That
I figured I was just hopping down the remnants of the wood that's sticking out of the wall.
You can definitely Legolas it. That still only counts as one, though. I am looking for a specific note. C8. So one of you is already in C8. I'm going to move characters over to C8 for this.
Okay.
Okay.
C8 is dry. C8 has big, overstuffed chairs. And I'm going
Portakali to... Portakali will not scratch the chairs while anyone's looking.
There's also some sheets over there that probably were covering the chairs.
Portakali will take one of the sheets and cover up a chair and then sit down on the chair on the sheet because Portakali knows that they shed. It is a rare observation of perhaps long-term thinking.
Well,
I feel like I missed something, but should I be on a different map?
You are already on that map. Is the first floor. You have more than one character on the map, so I wouldn't have to keep Kool-Aid manning you through boundaries.
All right.
So the were-ravens, who are all parts of the Scarlet Sash, introduce themselves. You've already met Madrina and Tasper. There's also Rennick and Vanik. There's more members of the Scarlet Sash, but these are the four who are here right now. And the Scarlet Sash is specifically a group of were-ravens. Were-ravens organize themselves. Where is the term? They have this fancy term that they use to describe a group of were-ravens. It's not a pack. I believe
it's not a murder.
Kindness. It's a kindness.
Oh, the opposite of murders.
Yes. Wait, am I wrong? The problem is, I read through the entire adventure, but I don't remember where I read it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it's a kindness of ravens, and their founder passed away years ago, but their founder, Anil Zespertis, was the one who found this place and thought this would be a good place. They are dedicated to finding items of power and keeping them out of the wrong hands. Sometimes that involves putting them in other people's hands. And if shown the map that led you here, Tasper recognizes the handwriting. It looks like it was, in fact, made by Anil.
I'd recognize that handwriting anywhere. Scratchy. Always made his E's wrong. His A's look like U's.
They look fine to me. Look fine to me.
Now, in that chest, they have a bunch of things. Some of them, they really do not want to just hand to a bunch of people who dug a hole to get into the chalet and went exploring.
Digging a hole to get in was unintended, if I recall correctly.
Regardless, they're not here to be an artifact dispensary. But part of the Order of the Scarlet Sash, or the Kindness of the Scarlet Sash, or whatever you want to call it, does involve making sure items get put into capable hands as opposed to the wrong ones. And there is something that they might be willing to hand over.
Porticali attempts to look like a responsible tabaxi and not like you can see the tumbleweeds passing behind their eyes.
Porticali is an orange cat. An orange cat attempting to look as responsible as possible looks exactly the same as an orange cat that has just pooped on the carpet and is staring at you as if to say, well, what are you going to do about it?
I mean, somebody's responsible,
the
right?
GM knows from experience that this is exactly the same expression in both cases.
Yeah, pretty much.
Look, we got a few trinkets we wouldn't mind handing out. We also have a statue. A real nasty one. Vinique just brought it in. We kind of don't want to keep it here. You show you're trustworthy, that you can do something about it, or try to do something about it, then the right hands would probably be valuable. The question is, how do you prove you're worthy? And also, we've been playing for about an hour, so what do you say we take a short break?
Good idea.
Yes.
And we're back. And there is no sun to be seen in this rainy, dreary evening, and therefore, there is no bird person, of which there are currently 5 bird people, which is a lot of bird people. There are no bird people screaming at the sun. All is well with the world. Madrina looks at everyone and says, look, give us a minute. And they all sort of like go over to a corner and do a huddle. And there's some whispering and muttering. And then one of them peeks up, looks around, goes back down to the huddle. Someone says something. Madrina smacks them on the top of the head, mutters some more. And then they all come back.
Right. So, you already learned something happened in the graveyard. That was before most of us were here. Except for old Tasper over here, but he doesn't always remember everything clearly. I remember everything just fine. You forgot where the bathroom was. Third door on the left. There's only 2 doors on the left. Anyway, you get to the bottom of the graveyard problem. That might make things quieter around here. We don't know everything about what happened in that graveyard. We know something was took. We know something about the taker. And we know that some of the stuff that's been going on since then is because the spirits that are here don't... They're not all at peace. Brorn is. Brorn seeps like a rock.
That's the dog, right?
Yeah, that's the dog.
Right. Right. Good.
You've met Sylphine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Haluth comes and goes. Mm-hmm. The Baron, something is keeping the Baron trapped in the well.
Is the Baron nice?
I'm told he was a good man. And really, the main thing he does in that well is creep Tasper out whenever he goes down to get water.
It was creepy.
But I don't think anyone wants to spend an eternity in the bottom of a well.
No. Well, mostly no one.
So, that's your grand quest. And she raises her arms and wiggles her fingers as she says this. Kind of like how the GM just did it. You find a way to solve that problem. Problems. Kind of plural.
Oh.
Haluth and the Baron. Sylphine's probably okay. Such as she is.
He seemed nice.
She can be. Just don't mess with her dolls.
Oh, no. Dusted them a little very carefully.
Very carefully. Very careful.
Oh, we know you were careful. We'd have heard if you weren't.
Uh-huh. Maybe I can talk to the Baron. A little.
Worth a shot. Anyway, you got your thing to do. And we've got some comfy chairs in here that I want to sit in and rest these old bones for a while. Right, off you go.
Okay. There's a basement. It's not too wet down there, right?
It's damp.
Step real carefully.
I have added more characters to the map as you slowly multiply. There's now a flock of Crazies.
Oh, wow. Is that needed, though? I mean, imagine.
No, but this means I don't have to Kool-Aid man you through walls.
Right, yes.
And for what's likely about to happen, most of it will be theater of the mind anyway, because I've at this point, you've seen most of the map. There's a few rooms you have not. There's precisely 3 rooms that you have not yet been in. Maybe 4. I think 4. But in any case. No, 3. 4. One of those. I forget if you've been in the master bedroom or not. So it's the ending of Clue. 1 plus 2 plus 3. 3 plus 1 plus... You hear a chandelier falling in the background. All right. So as you enter the cistern and you see the well in the middle, you again faintly hear that voice saying, Braun, Braun boy, where are you?
Do we need to bring him his dog to lead him out of the well?
Maybe.
Are there any anchor points in this room?
The well has a rope and bucket. And the rope does have a winch.
I wonder if that'll support me.
Are the anchor points? That's the next question.
It looks sturdy enough. Yes, it's damp in here, but it hasn't been rained on. And it looks like it was built to be wet on a regular basis. All things considered, it kind of needed to be.
And this one is wet. And this one is wet.
Okay. I am going to tie one end of the rope that I have around me and hand the other end to one of the other PCs.
I'll take it. Wait. Yes, I'll take it.
Okay.
Someone tie it. And Porticali will tie it around their waist because there's no way they're going to go down into that water. So clearly, you know, they can brace with all 4 limbs and the rope will, if the rope is tied well, all will be well. No, that's wait, we don't want fair. All to be well. We want all to be good, not well.
You won't need to support my weight unless that can't.
Nod.
I'll help.
Okay.
I'll hold on to Porticali, and then she definitely won't fall in because I'm heavy.
Are you going to hold on to Porticali's tail?
I am going to climb onto the bucket and assume that the way this works is that the winch is weight driven. And so when I climb onto it, it's going to start lowering.
When you climb onto it, it does start lowering, but it was designed to lower from the weight of an empty bucket.
Right.
Porticali may grab the winch
a bit more than an empty bucket.
A little bit.
Yes.
Porticali, okay, yeah. You might need to limit the speed at which the winch is going.
If you wish to limit the speed at which the winch is going, you're going to make a difficulty 4 might check, unless you have something that can reduce it.
Is me being heavy an asset?
Yes. Perga helping would be an asset. This makes it difficulty 3. So you need to roll 9 or higher.
Can I spend one of my might thingies? I've got a lot of might, so I could spend one.
You can
one.
Do a level of effort in might that will cost you 3 might. That will take it down to difficulty 2. You would have to roll a 6 or higher.
What does the edge do? What does the edge?
Oh, that means you only spend 2 might.
Okay.
Edge is a coupon for a reduction in cost.
Okay, so I will spend 2 might, and people are helping, and I make a might
make
roll.
Make a d20 roll. And
a d20 roll.
As per the image that I just pasted in chat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As per the image. Okay. Just so if we are slow.
If we are going by having Foundry do the math for you, it is a difficulty. Base difficulty is 4, but you are using 1 asset and you are using. Actually, put in 2 assets because you've already taken off points for using might. If you say you're using effort, then it asks if you want to take off points. Yes, okay, and we don't want to have to take 24 points
assets too.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And press roll.
Press roll. 11.
That's a success. Okay. So, yay, for a brief period of time, Ori is free falling. You pass Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers before you start to slow down.
Glad I'm not the only one to get that. But you do, in fact, slow down.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I remember correctly, you tied off one of the ropes that you brought with you as a party onto your waist and handed that over, correct?
Yes.
That rope is 50 feet long, including the part tied around your waist.
And then there's the part tied around Porticolli's waist.
Porticolli, you start to get pulled towards the well.
More so the than, well than with fact, the crank.
Deeper than 50 feet.
Oof.
Ah. Well, if the bucket rope is supporting my weight, then I'll untie the climbing rope.
Okay. And at that point, you can sort of see a shimmering below you. You're not too far away from the water.
Okay.
The bucket descends the rest of the way down, and you are in the water. Your lamp goes out.
It's dark.
It's wet. You are in about 10 feet of water.
Hey, Baron, buddy, you down here? How much room do I have?
It's dark enough that it's hard for you to tell. You'd have to swim around and find the edges. There is light coming down from, like, it's not enough light that someone up top would notice. But as your eyes start to adjust to the gloom, you can see the opening and the rope because of the lantern light that's at the top.
Okay. Well, how wide was the well at the top?
The well at the top was about 5 foot across in a room that was about 15 feet across.
Okay.
The cistern appears to be, if you're swimming around, roughly the same size as the circular room. So about 15 feet across. It seems to be mostly evenly 10 feet deep all the way around. There's little bits of rubble and stuff down at the bottom, detritus. It's likely fed by an underground spring or just the water table seeping in because how far down the well is.
Right.
After a few minutes of searching, your boot tangles on something. And when you go to take care of that, it feels like a jewelry chain.
Oh. Hmm. I will dive down and try and work out what's going on.
Okay. It is definitely a piece of jewelry. In the very dim light that's coming down from above, it's shiny, which implies that it is a metal that does not tarnish easily, considering it's been down here for who knows how long. It does appear to have something hanging from the chain, but in this light, you are unable to investigate it further.
Okay. Is it attached to anything?
Not anymore.
Well,
so it's just the chain and the thing hanging from it.
Okay.
Hope they got the bones out.
I was just about to ask, like, is there a body down here? Are there bones at the bottom of the well?
They should have been getting any water sign out of
bones. Although you do recall the Baron has a grave in the cemetery.
Yeah, but it could be a cenotaph.
It could be. The Were-Raven said that they couldn't get the Baron out before he drowned, but that language implies that they might have been able to get him out eventually.
They've been getting water from this well, and if there was a body in it, the well would probably be toxic. Although I suppose if they were boiling the water enough. You
know. I don't think I'd want to know how long I would have to boil that water. I don't think there's an upper limit to how long I would want to boil the water. Is it gone? Okay. condense it, boil it again.
Distill that water like 5 or 6 times, then throw it out.
And then toss it out and go get some Purina or something.
Use the rainwater.
This is pre-germ theory, though. So, I mean, this is pre-miasma theory, I assume.
I mean, it's a fantasy environment. Setting, so
yeah, I know. Just
Technically, this is taking place on Circulus, though, where we already have people who've invented nanites. So...
Yeah, but we don't know that.
Right.
Well, you don't know that. That's correct. I haven't even established where you are on Circulus, only that you're in the same world.
Or when we are.
Or when you are. That's correct. You could be 100 million years in the future. Civilizations have risen up, fallen, risen again. That, or this is right before the moon hit Circulus the first time.
Concerning. Yeah, that could work. That could work.
Yeah. You all go outside. You see the storm has cleared, and you look up and say, "Is the moon bigger? It looks bigger." And that's what we're ending for. That's not what we're ending it for tonight. We are not doing that.
Okay.
That would be horrid.
I mean, that would be one horrid. Shot. That would kind of
one,
enforce
one shot with the moon.
Yes.
The whole planet got one shot, except for the Tarrasque, because the Tarrasque lived.
Yep.
Well, that's because it's unkillable.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, there's a Tarrasque.
You better hope you're the Tarrasque. And even the Tarrasque got concussed.
True.
So.
All right. Is there anything
you
else
come...
to...
Hmm?
Yeah, I'm feeling around for anything else interesting, but it seems like it's mostly rubble.
Give me an intellect roll, difficulty 2.
Can I add perception to that?
You may, difficulty 1. You are fairly certain that you have found the only thing of value or relevance in this well that is tangible.
Okay. Hey, some rocks have value. I will stick the I'll put the jewelry around my neck and then swim back over to the bucket.
Okay.
Okay, time to come back up.
Whew. Start cranking up our person who likes water, apparently.
And I'm going to start climbing up the rope so I can make it easier.
Or make it faster.
Make it faster, yeah.
I just ruled a GM intrusion that I'm not using, but I'm tempted to anyway. But I want to read it to you because it's funny to me.
Oh, dear.
The character keeps noticing something, an ice cream truck, a red-headed person, a fat cat, over the course of the day.
Okay.
That's an interesting GM intrusion, and I thought I would share that, but I don't see how I can make it relevant right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not using it. This is not going to be canon.
You can certainly keep noticing a cat. You can certainly keep noticing a cat. There's a cat right there.
Porter Collie keeps noticing a cat. Porter Collie keeps seeing an orange cat everywhere.
Usually
over there, in that mirror. There, in that puddle of water.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, water.
In the eyes of one of your companions.
Mm-hmm.
In that pane of glass.
Mm-hmm.
There are orange cats everywhere. Competition. I am not going to require a roll for tedium, because you are pulling Ori up 60 feet of well shaft.
Uh-huh.
But there's more than one of you involved in this, so you are successfully able to get Ori out of the well. And Ori has a shiny new necklace.
Ooh.
And a saturated lantern.
Yes. I am going to relight my lantern as best I can.
You're wet.
The lantern filled with water, oil being lighter than water, came out and is now down there at the bottom of the well. So you can dump it out. You're going to have to use one of your oil flasks to relight it.
Yeah, that was my intent.
Okay. Just remember, if you keep pressing the torch icon, you use up all your torches. That mod is not installed. You actually can't do that. I don't even think we were recording when that happened, but it's still funny.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, your lantern is relit. And you have this medallion that appears to have a holy symbol on it, but the holy symbol has a little clasp.
Okay.
And
that's a locket, not a medallion?
If you move the clasp, it opens and there is a painting inside. A small painting, sometimes referred to as a cameo. And let me find the description, because they put that on another page, because of course they did. The cameo is of what appears to be a thin woman in her 50s.
Oh.
This is not, I assume, one of the Raven people.
No. The Raven people look, when they're in their human forms, very down to earth when it comes to
ironic.
Their expressions and mannerisms. What was that?
Ironic. Raven people looking yes, down to earth.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. This individual has a very aristocratic demeanor in her posture and expression.
Hmm. Is this what was taken?
Doesn't seem to have been removed from the area. I sort of wonder if maybe that's why he went into the well.
Or it could have fallen off him.
That too. But maybe now he'll want to not be in the well.
Maybe.
How do we find out?
Yell.
Are we still hearing the whispers from the bottom of the well?
You haven't heard them often. Matter of fact, you've really only heard it twice. But it's rare enough that if you stop to think and listen, you don't hear it again. But because you've heard, if you had a nickel for every time you heard the ghost of Baron Brantifax calling for his lost and faithful hound, you'd have 2 nickels.
And that's upsetting enough.
Which isn't a lot, but you feel like mm-hmm. if you sit around and wait to hear it a third time, you're going to trigger a GM intrusion.
Ah. Okay.
I like GM Good. Intrusions. They're a get out of green circle free card for GMs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to suggest that we spend an hour resting.
I can take out my comb and start brushing out my fur.
That's going to take longer than an hour.
Probably. Well, I mean, only if I brush all the fur. Okay, you start with the face fur and you brush out each long cheek fluff bit, and then you brush your skin and the rug.
Porter Collie's description of how she manages her fur takes about an hour, over which time you can, in fact, click on the button for taking a 1 hour recovery roll.
Where's the hiding?
Under combat.
Combat.
There is a section that says 1d6 plus 1. For some of you, it might be a higher number.
1d6 plus 3.
Yes.
Click 1 hour.
One of the abilities you could have was a +2 to your rolls. If you do a recovery roll, that tells you how many points you can add to whatever pool you want to add them to.
Can I split between pools?
That's a good question. I'm going to say yes. Now, in theory, you are supposed to use them in order. So you have to use an action recovery roll before you can use the 10-minute recovery roll.
Oh.
Before you can use the one-hour recovery roll.
It checked off the action one I clicked to the 1 hour one.
Because of how it's supposed to be done in that order, probably.
That's all right. I apparently got a 9 and I was only down 2. So Porticali is also probably demonstrating how you have to brush all of this magnificent, magnificent orange fur. So there's probably going to also wind up being like a little puffy tribble of fur.
No.
in their hands at the end of it.
Gosh. Yeah.
And then you have to take the fur and you put it outside.
You take the fur and you put a few strands on the clothing of the people you care most about. But only in places where they won't notice until they've been walking around other people for several hours.
That's so the other people will notice and know that you're a friend.
And that you have an orange cat that's a friend.
Yes.
That loves you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or you're turning into an orange cat. That will also be a possibility that they will wonder based on how much fur you provide them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have done this. You have an amulet. You have rested in a damp cistern when there were, in fact, guest bedrooms that you discovered.
True.
It's
true, true. Mm-hmm.
For my after school club. They actually took a 10-hour rest in the guest quarters. Not the guest quarters, in the servants' quarters. So servants quarters, this damp, okay. horrible cellar, they rested for 10 hours in there.
Ew.
And then they went exploring and found all the other bedrooms, each one nicer than the one before it.
Well, resting down here does have the additional function of wondering if the Baron is going to speak up again.
Definitely. And you think you occasionally hear the voice. He's never saying the exact same thing word for word, but he's always calling for his missing hound.
Okay. And it's still coming from the bottom of the well.
I think I know what they took from the graveyard.
It's kind of echoey. So you think it's coming from the well, but it might be coming from this room or maybe just bouncing off the walls. Your voice has a slight echo when you talk in here.
Gotcha.
I think that someone may have unburied the hound.
Do you think that they say the dog sleeps because the dog isn't a ghost and absence ghost doesn't mean presence of hound?
Or that maybe, but well, perhaps I should try to talk to the Baron.
You're the priest.
I don't know why that rolled. I was just trying to use it to spend points. It's not a roll. Which is a good thing because I rolled a 3.
Sometimes the GM will apply a target number that you have to hit depending on how difficult it is.
Erga pokes their head over the edge of the well and is sort of going, "Hello, Baron?"
If anyone else did this, they would be met with silence. When you do this, you are also met with silence. But not everything is conveyed through sound. With a 3, I'm not going to give you everything. I will, however, give you some insights. Some of this is based on prior knowledge about your dealings with spirits. The Baron is asking for where his dog is because that's what he was doing right before he died. He's trapped in that cycle because that's what he was doing then. But that's not what's keeping him restless. There's something else.
We should take the locket to the graves.
Okay.
All right.
First, can we find out what's making that sound like a boar? That seems important.
Oh, yes.
Tracy. You're trained in botany. No, botany is not the right one. Never mind.
No,
you're
not
a
botany.
Bird.
Okay.
Give me an intellect roll. Difficulty 3. Because while you're a bird, you're also a cockatiel.
Yeah. This kind especially is.
Yes.
Okay. The bird version of sharing the brain cell, you know? All right, so what was the intellect?
Just roll a d20 in the chat, and it's got to be a 9 or higher.
Okay. 13.
Okay. It occurs to you, ravens are excellent mimics. And I'm just going to let that one sit. Okay, so you're going out to the graveyard?
Piece it together. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Does any one of you take the shovel from the cloakroom?
Yes.
Yes. It's still raining.
It looks like it's starting to dry up a little bit.
Or like, Callie will carefully look out the doorway.
You occasionally still hear thunder, but most of the drips you're hearing are from water coming off of the roof or trees or branches, stuff like that. If you're not standing under anything, you should be okay.
I don't suppose one of those cloaks is oiled.
There is only one cloak in the cloakroom, and it's dusty.
Okay.
Orticali will carefully and cautiously accompany everyone else, being alert for where the door was left in case the sky opens up again and they have to run for cover.
Any moment you will have a Perga-shaped umbrella again. The Perga-shaped umbrella might, in a moment of panic, turn into a perfectly spherical Perga. Because that penguin.
That makes him a terrible umbrella, though.
Yes. I didn't say it would be a good plan. I'm saying that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So you are after a portrait of, let's say, Crazy this time, appears on screen, spinning in a circle, flies towards the screen until it fills it, then zooms away in the other direction. You are now in the graveyard.
But are you going to Kool-Aid Man us there?
If you unselect your character, you will see you have characters in the graveyard already.
Oh. How do you unselect?
You've been there the whole time. Sure. Well, no, not you the whole time.
Anywhere on the map.
Yeah, draw a little... Anywhere in the black part of the map, just use your pointer to draw a little selection box briefly, and that will pop open everything else.
Yes.
Okay.
Most of what we're doing is theater of the mind.
Okay.
So it's not as important.
Yeah, I can't make this work right now. So
if you click and drag on the map, then...
To where?
Well, how about...
Oh, there.
I got rid of the other crazies.
Okay.
There could be only one. The Highlander theme starts to play.
Okay. Okay, I see it now.
Okay.
Horta is going to prowl because they were never out to the graveyard in the first place because it started raining.
Mm-hmm. You resist the urge to rub up against the wrought iron fence because it is wet.
Mm-hmm. And that one is wet.
You find yourself halfway through rubbing up against it, and then you realize, oh, but wait.
Wet!
So wet, the graves in order from north to south are Sylphine, Hiluth, Brorn, and Baron Brantifax.
Hmm.
And I have this assumption about what you're going to be doing.
Are we digging up the dog?
Or are we digging up enough of the... We need to put the portrait in a something, don't we? So it's not just in dirt.
Maybe.
Ooh,
that is 17. A 17 using your religion skill. Purga, what do you want to know?
I want to know where the burial rites would want that amulet that Lockett, that's clearly of the Baron's wife to be. Would it be better to hang it around the gravestone? Would it be better to ensure it ends up around the neck of the Baron's body?
It depends on the culture. And in your time as an itinerant cleric, you have met more than one culture. In this area, historically, if someone was attempting to, quote-unquote, take it with them, it was buried with them. If something was placed on the grave or on the tombstone, this was done also, but it was more, like most death rituals, actually, to provide comfort to the living. But considering this amulet was likely the Baron's and that he was wearing it when he died, you might need to give it back to the Baron as opposed to leaving it on the gravestone.
Then we give it back to the Baron.
Does this mean
we apologize, Baron, for disturbing your rest? We must give you back what you have lost. We will take nothing, only set things right. We promise.
Every and Purga starts praying. Every time I hear the word nothing, I want to follow up with only Zul.
I was thinking, you know, take nothing, leave only footprint? No.
Take only nothing but pictures, leave only footprints.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
I think that everyone is probably going to give the Might 15 Tabaxi the shovel to do the digging, I would assume.
Mm-hmm. Or it will already have started, but isn't going to get very far.
The ground is very wet for obvious reasons. there's good and bad about this. It's actually holding together pretty well. If it was dry ground, it might actually cave in very easily, and you don't really want that when you're digging down 6 feet. But wet dirt is a lot heavier. So
that's an 18.
You're digging, I was about to say, you're digging like you're going for treasure in a litter box, but
no, you leave treasure in the litter box.
There's several asterisks in that sentence.
I would be very disappointed if I got into somewhere looking for treasure and that was what I found.
But Boo gave you a gift. And Purga is helping. With a
Purga
two.
Has excavated. With a two.
So the rolls, dear listener, were Ori got a 7, Portakali got an 18, and Purga got a 2. I was not actually going to require a roll.
Oh, okay.
But I will tell you that based... Sorry?
I was just using my roll to determine how far Ori was going to get before she gave up.
Which is what the GM is also doing, and the GM is basing how much you help on the roll, as opposed to, well, you rolled below this number, so I'm sorry, you are unable to dig down. You attack the clouds above you with the shovel. For Portakali, that might actually happen, but whatever.
I was going to say, Portakali, don't say the thought didn't cross your mind.
The shovel innocent, can make a very small innocent. Umbrella. After quite some time, and actually might be a little lighter out. The sky is still very overcast, but you might be getting closer to dawn at this point. You do hit the wood of a coffin with the shovel.
Chonk.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to let Purga do this, but if that's okay.
Yeah, so Purga puts a hand on the coffin and murmurs another prayer. That's possibly where the two came from. They keep stopping to...
Right, yes.
To any god who the Baron, based on the area, might have worshipped. They're not really sure exactly.
You do have a
who.
Bit of a hint because the amulet is shaped like a holy symbol.
Oh.
Let me look it up.
I didn't catch that.
I'm not going to go into... I didn't put a lot of emphasis on it, to be honest. I'm not going to go into the particular deity, but you have a sense that the deity was a god of love and beauty.
Oh.
But yes, that too for helping to dig was because you're doing your best to make this look like it's not a desecration to any spiritual beings, divine or otherwise, that might be taking a look at what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Which is fair and valid.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you open up the casket. And there's definitely a dead guy in there.
May you be rejoined with your love, if not necessarily your lover.
When you put the amulet in the casket, you feel it more than everyone else. But everyone sort of feels like this place got a bit calmer. There was something that, which is part of the background noise, you didn't think about it, but kind of sort of had you on edge this whole time. And you're still on edge. There's two of you in an open grave right now, at the very least. But less so.
Sen will close the casket.
Sen? Purga.
Yeah, sorry, Purga will close the gate. There is a character named Sen in this thing that I am currently in, and they are talking.
Oh dear.
And it is getting to my brain about what character I am playing.
Okay.
Purga will close the casket.
As a reward for putting the spirit of the Baron to rest, you are each getting a subtle cipher. So this is a boon that is being granted to you. It is not an item that you can carry. It is a thing that you can temporarily do. If you are going over your number of ciphers that you're allowed to have, I am going to say, rather than giving you a GM intrusion for having too many, you may archive the one you don't want. So
I'll just use the one I don't want. I mean,
you can do that too. So, Crazy, you are getting an eagle's eye cipher that grants the ability to see 10 times as far as normal for 1 hour per cipher level. You have a button you can click in that cipher to determine what level it is.
Okay, let's see.
Portacali, you are getting a motion cipher, motion sensor.
Whiskers.
For 1 hour per cipher level, and again, you have a button you can click that'll roll 1d6 plus 2 to determine the level. The user knows when any movement occurs within a short range and when large creatures or objects move within long range. The cipher distinguishes between the two, so you know which one it is. It also indicates the number and size of the creatures or objects in motion.
I will spend the nutrition and hydration one, I think, to...
Okay.
Does that count as using it up?
I guess so.
Okay.
Ori is getting a tissue regeneration cipher. For the next hour, the user regains 1 point lost to damage per round, up to a total number of points equal to twice the cipher's level. And that's when you roll 1d6 plus 4. And Perga, you are getting a strength enhancer. All non-combat tasks involving raw strength, such as breaking down a door, lifting a heavy boulder, forcing open elevator doors, possibly digging a long way, competing in a weightlifting competition. I want to see that fan art of Perga participating in a weightlifting competition. And so on, are eased by 2 steps for 1 hour if you use that cipher. Okay.
It is level 2. What does that mean?
For some ciphers, it actually does not matter. All ciphers get a level, but sometimes the text says, and the level applies to this, and sometimes it does not matter. And for your particular cipher, it looks like it does not matter. But it eases things by 2 steps, and that's quite a lot for something that does the thing regardless of level.
Yes.
Perga, I would like you to make an intellect roll for me. Now, this roll revolves around your ability to do communion, and it involves your religion roll as well, your religion skill as well. I'm going to say, with those in mind, the difficulty for this task is 2.
Okay, so it was originally 4.
Yes.
Okay.
17. There are 4 graves here. The Baron's, Brorn the dog's, and the 2 Baron's daughters, Haluth and Sylphine. Sylphine you've met. Sylphine is not here. Sylphine sensed something happening down here, but Sylphine is not here. Haluth is not here either. The Baron was here. The Baron is at rest now. The Baron isn't here anymore. He's gone. He has moved on. Finally, he is at peace.
And the dog,
but there's
presumably
something here that is not at rest. And it
and
is,
it's not the dog.
It's not the dog. And it is malevolent.
What do the various graves read again?
I left math notes, but I'm not sure you can read them.
You might be able to if you click on the journal tab in the foundry menu over on the right.
There it is. Nope.
If I can speak, the malevolency seems to be emanating from Haluth's grave.
And what does her...
Our pride and joy lost too soon.
Wonder what happened.
Don't think I'll know.
The Baron didn't do that with the explosion. That was the Baron's explosion. So probably she wasn't killed then?
There are still rooms to investigate.
Maybe we find her there in one of those. Maybe?
Yep, sounds like a plan.
Okay. Yep.
I love that Ori is delighted to go investigate more things.
Yep.
Well, it's that or dig up another grave. Mm. And Ori just spent several hours digging up a grave because digging through wet dirt going 6 feet down takes a while. And I assume filled it back in. That also takes time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need a summon bulldozer.
Meanwhile, there's a whole clan of kobolds that just do mold earth.
Yep.
What's your problem? Uh-huh. Mold earth.
That door is locked, is it? Oh, no, we unlocked it coming out.
That's right, we unlocked it.
Yeah. It wasn't locked with a padlock, it was locked with a crossbeam, and you moved
the crossbeam, that's right.
Yes.
I can't get in.
Oh?
Yeah.
Nope. Someone closed the door. You lock out the crazy?
You lock out the crazy. No. Crazy's going to fly to the next level of the building.
You have explored all of the ground floor.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Okay. I got in.
There's the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Which you have not left the... done. If you unselect your characters and go to the second floor.
That's C14?
Well, you're currently in C14, but let me do the thing because there's more than...
The upper
there's only
C14.
One crazy, so I have to move a crazy. There we go.
Sure.
Like, all the other animals go where they need to go, and then you just try to get the bird to move where you want them to be.
Trust me, that happens.
I know. I did work in a pet shop for a year.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ori has gone into C13, which I believe is the master bedroom, and it's getting dark in my room, so I have to turn on the light.
Oh, all right.
I can't just use the monitor light to read this book. I'm using a physical book for this.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
This spacious bedroom has walls decorated with wainscoting and rusty oil lamps. A four-poster stands against the south wall, its bedpost carved to look like stags and wolves. Opposite the bed is a stone hearth with a black marble mantle that has a pair of elk antlers mounted above it. A bare, dust-covered writing desk is set against the west wall under a pair of tall windows flanked by burgundy drapes. Other furnishings include a tall wardrobe in the northeast corner and an empty dog kennel in the southeast corner.
Hmm.
My after-school group, one of them decided to tear the bed apart to look for things.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Wow.
This is the same person who had decided to charge headlong up that winding staircase covered in cobwebs.
Oh.
They were playing a dragonborn.
Okay.
So, congratulations, you are a feathered dragonborn.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a nickel for every time I had a feathered dragonborn, I'd have two nickels. The odd thing is not that it happened twice. The odd thing is that it was two different students playing two different Dragonborn on different months. And I don't think they were both there at the same time.
Interesting.
Yes. Ori has already left the room after looking around saying, well, there's nothing here.
Mm. Nope. Leaving.
I will tell you that C10 and C11 are functionally identical rooms. They're both guest rooms. But there is a winding staircase at the end of this hallway that you have not gone up. You've gone up one winding staircase.
I'm up now.
I am stuck at the door again.
That's quite all right. I am going to be moving people to a different location.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a moment.
I will not touch.
While I'm not Kool-Aid manning anyone through a thing they can't see or shouldn't see yet. Mm. And there's a porta collie, and there's a crazy. Boop. There we go. So you should be where you can be on the third floor. Most of you are in the winding stairwell, but you'll have to just move to the east to get out of that and go into room C16. It was
very nice. What are the dashed lines on the map?
It was very nice of the Baron to have each room labeled with giant letters and numbers on the floor. Makes it way easier.
Yeah.
So what are the dashed lines on the floor there?
That is an excellent question. They are the police chalk lines for murdered giant amoeba. This is not true. But now that I've said that, you know it kind of looks like that. Two gaping holes in the peaked roof expose this attic to the elements. There you go. That's why those are there.
There's puddles. It's wet.
Shattered clay roof tiles, splinters of wood, dry leaves, and bird droppings cover the floor. The were-ravens will probably insist the droppings are not theirs. That part isn't written down. I'm adding flavor.
Right.
I shouldn't talk about flavor when talking about bird droppings. That's not the good kind of flavor. which has begun to rot in a number of places. The rafters are home to several birds' nests formed out of twigs and straw. Two wooden bed frames stand against the north wall. Built into the window box between them is a wooden storage trunk sealed with a rusty padlock. Other furnishings in the room include a pair of tall, narrow wardrobes.
Well, it's a bird room now.
Oh, sure.
Do you think this is where... That makes no sense. This is probably servants' room?
You know?
Ori has already opened the door to the south and gone into C-17. You can see the sky through two large holes in the peaked roof of this attic. Much of the area has fallen prey to the elements, causing the objects stored here to rot. The room is filled with old chairs, tables, benches, hunting trophies, rolled-up rugs, a standing mirror, a kitchen sink, and similar unwanted decor. The kitchen sink was added by me. Never mind about that. Leaning against the east wall are six flat rectangular objects wrapped in canvas sheets, framed pictures or mirrors, one might venture to guess.
Can I get to them?
Easily.
Okay. Then I am going to take off the canvas from one of them.
Okay. You find a gilt-framed mirror. It is horribly cracked.
Okay. How about the next one?
You find another mirror. It is not cracked. It looks like you could probably sell it for a decent amount of gold if you can get it somewhere without breaking it out of the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But transporting this would probably be easier than that gilded harp downstairs.
Yeah. I'm going to keep seeing what these things are.
Okay.
Are they all mirrors?
The next one is a painting. It looks like the remaining ones are all paintings.
And I am guessing these are paintings of the Baron, Sylphine, Haluth, and the Baroness.
Yes and no. One painting depicts three deer grazing on a hill, backlit by the dawn. Another shows a gray mastiff with a dead duck in its mouth. A third depicts an armored human knight on a hippogriff, both shown in profile. The knight's shield bears the holy symbol of Joa. The fourth painting is a portrait of Baron Brantifax seated in a chair with a gray mastiff sleeping at his feet and his wife standing by his side. Brantifax is depicted as a stout, well-dressed man in his 50s with bags under his eyes. The Baroness is shown as a tall, thin woman in her 50s. You've seen that portrait before. It was in the amulet. The Baroness is shown... one of her hands rests gently on the Baron's shoulder, while the other grasps a small bouquet of roses. The painting expertly captures the noble's aristocratic bearing and the genuine love they bore for each other.
Aww.
This is the room that if you had gone here first, you would have recognized that that was the Baroness in the locket.
As opposed to it simply being quite obvious.
Well, it depends on who's finding it.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These should be at least in a safer location.
Well, the good news is oil paint does not decay very well.
Nope.
The bad news is canvas does.
Yep.
And they're painted on canvas and covered in canvas. So
if we carefully carry them down those stairs and lean them against a wall safely elsewhere, will they fall apart?
They might.
Only one way to find out.
Okay. Need to?
They shouldn't rot up here if they're not rotted. Maybe someone has a magic to make them not rot.
I don't think I have that.
Or at the very least, there are rooms that are drier.
Yeah.
That have 100% of a roof as opposed to 75.
Hmm. Okay.
All right. I'm going to haul painting downstairs.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to pick one up with my beak and glide down the stairs.
I will tell you that it's not difficult for you to move the paintings. They are a little awkward going down the spiral staircase, but not enough to require a roll for anything. The mirror is a bit trickier, but I'm, again, not going to require a roll for you for that.
Okay.
Move all the nice stuff down to the next floor below along the hallway and, you know, prop it up gently and all that.
Okay. Bit of business keeping. We are over the 2-hour mark. Do we want to keep playing or no?
Fine either way.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask if we should go to a third session.
That might actually be better.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Okay. I will ask for one more thing, though. Is there anything else you want to do up here before you head back downstairs?
Nope.
Look in all of the locked or look at all everything that's closed.
Yeah.
Well, you can't because that trunk is padlocked.
Oh, I have a key.
Yeah, that key belonged to the Baron's chalet. I believe the chalet's name was Chekhov.
Chekhov's key. You can try the key.
thank you. In any case.
Try the key. See if it works.
I am trying the key.
You try the key. It works. You did, in fact, find a use for Chekhov's key. And you didn't even have to wait to the third act. It's the second. So, this
of course
trunk
I have much better locks than this in Moscow.
They use them to secure the nuclear vessels.
Okay. Inside Sorry. The trunk.
Okay, so this trunk contains some of Baron Brantifax's hunting paraphernalia, a suit of studded leather armor sized for a portly adult human, a leather helm, a heavy crossbow, a wooden case with the monogram BB, and 2 hunting traps. The wooden case contains 15 crossbow bolts with crimson fletching.
Oh, will they fit my crossbow?
Probably. Actually, no, you got a hand crossbow?
Yeah.
Hand crossbows are... You know what? I'm going to say it's fine. They fit.
Okay.
A historian... For real life, might look at them and say, well, actually, a hand crossbow was much smaller as a device and the bolts would be shorter. And like, it's fine. It's fine.
It's just Porticali's a TV just show. We should really just thing. Relax.
See? Porticali's just going to take down the whole chest.
My image of Porticali is Porticali moving the chest over to the top of the staircase and then batting it.
I could see that.
The wardrobes, by the way, include robes and scarlet sashes.
I guess we should leave those there because that's clearly for the ravens.
Yeah. Yes.
They can fly in and out of here without having to take the stairs.
Neat.
Yes. And with the thump, 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 thump of a chest being batted down the stairs, that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Right. Thank you, everyone, for playing. We should finish up during the next session, which means this Halloween one shot will not last for a year. Yeah. We'll start another sessions. Arc and have it continue after that. But this one shot will finish after the third set. It's a 3-session one right. shot. That just makes sense. In any case, yeah. Who wants to plug a thing?
Eo's mom writes books at ElizabethBacoy.com. And I never have actually done a Halloween spooky story. I do not know how to do spooky stories well. So, oh well. So you don't have to worry about being scared when you read them? Maybe? And speaking of books,
my website is bookofjen.net. And I actually have built a bookshelf next to me here with ton of books. there's a lot. There's a lot. And you could find a whole bunch of stuff at bookofjen.net. It's usually got some video game stuff and other stuff and whatever else I put up. Sometimes there's art, sometimes there's not. Bookofjen.net. I'm also the host of the Shattered Soulstone podcast, which focuses mostly on the developments going on in Blizzard's games, mostly Diablo 4. And you can find that every Saturday. I need to do one today to get that done. That's at shatteredsoulstone.com.
And speaking of websites and podcasts, you can find all of our podcasts at aaronbsmith.com/cogwheel. Each campaign has one RSS for it, but also there is a one RSS to rule them all thing that you can find wherever good podcasts are found. Probably. I don't know. I don't check those. I just subscribe via RSS feeds. You can also follow us on the Fediverse. is.aaronbsmith.com/@cogwheel is where I post when new episodes come up. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can help us pretend we're breaking even, just like other illustrious patrons, including, well, every hobby is a bottomless pit that we fill with money. Because we don't do it for the money, we do it for the fun of it. But if you want to throw a couple of bucks our way, and by our way, I mean my way, because I'm the one paying the server costs, whatever. Mm-hmm. You can do that and join other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshen, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. And until next time, this is Crash saying, so are we going to tell them about the hag? They'll figure it out eventually.
They did tell us about the hag.
They told us there was a hag.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.